Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Let's head down to the Bayou. Wilson Alexander joins us from the Advocate down there in Baton Rouge. We're going to talk about LSU and what a weird team a season ago. Offensively, good enough to win a national title. Defensively, probably not good enough to win the Birmingham Bowl. Can this team be more balanced this year? Can they have a little bit of success on both sides of the ball?
That's the hope. You know, certainly you have to expect some level of regression on the offensive side when Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner, Malik Nabers, a Biletnikoff finalist, and Brian Thomas, a Biletnikoff semifinalist, all head on for the NFL. It would be unreasonable not to think that that is going to happen to some degree. So as that comes back to the mean, perhaps, or at least in LSU's hopes, you know, maybe still a top 20 defense top 20 offense or something like that, that the defense improves on the other side to make this a little bit more of an even team. LSU's gone about that really by just hiring a completely new coaching staff. It's not really at this point a whole lot of new players. Many of the same faces from that defense a year ago are back. A few additions here and there. There will probably be some of that defensive tackle in the second portal window, which is a necessity. But really for them, it's been about adding to the coaching staff and overhauling that group, bringing in Blake Baker as the defensive coordinator, Bo Davis as the defensive line coach, and on, Corey Raymond as the cornerbacks coach. You know, all these guys who have a lot of experience, maybe will be able to bring out more from this defense and develop that talent a little better.
May not be a player in college football that has bigger shoes to fill than Garrett Nussmeier, taking over for not only the Heisman Trophy winner, but, I mean, a historic college football season last year, one of the greatest seasons individually ever by a quarterback, what Jaden Daniels did a season ago. You can't expect him to do that. So what can you expect him to do this year?
You can expect Garrett Nussmeier to be one of the probably maybe top five quarterbacks in the SEC. That's a reasonable expectation for him because of the arm talent. He can make just about any throw on the field. The key for him is consistency and harnessing that arm talent with his occasional tendency to make poor decisions. Garrett has 7 interceptions and 219 career attempts. He's a less than 60% career completion rate to him. But that's also, you know, with a very small sample size and in 3 years as a backup. And well, the one game that he started, you know, he threw for almost 400 yards. He led a 98-yard go-ahead drive in the late in the fourth quarter. He had a completion percentage over 60%. He only threw one interception. He threw 3 touchdowns in the ReliaQuest Bowl. And that stat line is probably often what you can expect of Garrett next year. Like, he's going to be able to air it out. He'll have some plays here and there, possibly, especially as a first-time starter, maybe early in the season, where you know, he's got to kind of maybe have to get better and maybe make some better decisions here and there. But that's really the thing that LSU is working on with him, because everybody around the program says when he can just harness that and he can be consistent, he can be really, really good. And so statistical numbers at the end of the year, hard to put, you know, a predictor on that at this point of the year, with us being still in the middle of spring practice. But it's still something that, you know, LSU really is confident in him, and he'll clearly be the starter.
It feels like forever for me since LSU has just had a running back that they could just put back there and count on. You know, go back to Fournette and Geis. But since those days, they've done it by committee. They haven't had that superstar back. Is there a guy like that on this roster, or are we looking at another year where LSU's running game is done by committee?
We're looking at another year where LSU's running game is done by committee, but there still might be that star in the making. Last year, and even the year before that, but particularly last year, there was a lot of running backs in that room who were part of the rotation. You know, LSU had 8 scholarship running backs a year ago. That's down to 3 at the moment. One is in some legal trouble after being arrested, and his status is unknown, Trey Holly. So right now, LSU's got 3 scholarship running backs. They might add to that. We'll see. But then either way, whether or not it's 4 or 3, anywhere between 3 and 5, you know, that's still going to be a position where they're going to divvy up those carries, but there's not as many of them to go around. So there's maybe more of a chance for those running backs, for someone to just emerge as a star. And if there is a star, it's probably Caleb Jackson. He's a sophomore who is built like a bowling ball. He's fast. He's physical. You know, fans from Mississippi State would probably remember him lowering his shoulder into a defender last year. And then kind of standing over him for a second. That was sort of his breakout moment, and we continue to see flashes of that last year whenever he got to touch the football. He just touched the football rather sparingly. But LSU also has Josh Williams, a 6-year senior who it trusts immensely, an incoming guy named Caden Durham, who's going to be a freshman, who's really fast. And really the way that Frank Wilson, the running backs coach, has handled that room throughout his career has been to be somewhat of a committee. Even when they had like Leonard Fournette, there was other guys who occasionally got touches. And that certainly seems like it'll be the case this year without necessarily like a true just bell cow running back, but still somebody who could be maybe in Caleb, you know, in a 1,000-yard rusher this year is a possibility. And to add on top of that, LSU is really changing its running game. Without Jaden Daniels doing zone reads and inside zones, schematically it's going to look a lot different, and there'll be more opportunities for those running backs in general.
You mentioned Thomas and Neighbors no longer there. Obviously, Mississippi State fans are aware that Xavion Thomas headed down to LSU out of the transfer portal. Is he going to be the lead receiver for this unit, or are they going to have another guy step up? Because, again, I look at the, you know, it's obviously a very early depth chart I'm looking at, but there's not a guy that just stands out above the rest like Neighbors did a season ago.
Last year, LSU's targets were so concentrated toward Malik Neighbors and Brian Thomas, and that's not going to be the case as much this year. It's going to be probably spread out between maybe about five guys. And so right now it looks like maybe the leader of that group, although it's going to be hard to see exactly like how much they have in a 1,000-yard receiver again, because like I said, I think it's going to be more spread out. Right now, the leader looks like Kyron Lacy. He's a returning senior. He was the third leading receiver on this team a year ago, had a little bit over 500 yards, 7 touchdowns, and he's continued to have a really good spring. Chris Hilton is another guy who at LSU has been there for, gosh, this is his fourth year now, had a lot of injuries in his career, but a really highly recruited guy coming out of high school, and he's put together a consistent spring. So Xavion and CJ Daniels, who's another transfer that they added from Liberty, a guy who had 1,000 yards last year, they've been mainly running with the second team offense at this point in the spring. And part of that is because of the guys who are already on LSU's roster. And also it's partly just them having to catch up to the other guys on the roster in terms of knowledge of the playbook. You know, they've got to kind of understand this offense. And once that comes along, they're going to expect it to be, you know, big pieces of this offense. Will Xavion or CJ or even Kyron, you know, be far and away above anybody else this year? Statistically, probably not. But we'll just kind of have to see exactly how that rotation shakes out, because they all have a lot of different strengths.
The good news for LSU defensively is whatever they want to do, they start with the best defensive player in college football and Harold Perkins. Who does he have around him? You know, Mason Smith gone, Mekhi Wingo gone. Again, you know, when I don't know all the names on this depth chart, and that's unusual. Normally, I look at an LSU depth chart, and I'm looking at it and going, okay, NFL, NFL, NFL. And I don't know about those guys this year. Who are they?
Right now, it's, you know, Greg Penn is a guy coming back who maybe isn't going to be like a first or even second round draft pick at linebacker, but just been a steady player within the SEC for a couple of years. He's going to be their middle linebacker. Whit Weeks is a guy up and coming who we'll have to see kind of how it shakes out in terms of playing time, because he and Harold are going to be playing that same position at weak side linebacker. But he's a guy who's so fast and flashed at times last year and really just needs to get on the field. That linebacker position with those three is probably LSU's strongest spot. In terms of like up front, there's some potential on the edges. If Xavion Jones can turn into more of a disruptor, if Braden Swinson with more playing time, who's going to be kind of one of their smaller defensive end, if he can do that with more playing time as well. Deshaun Womack is in that group as a former five-star. So they've got some players on the edges. In terms of the secondary, things are pretty very much up in the air. Jardine Gilbert is a Texas A&M safety who's starting right away, a guy who started 10 games for the Aggies in 2022. And then you've got some guys who've been there for a while, but again, they're probably not like, you know, jumping off the page at you in terms of star power. And that's kind of throughout this defense. The one big question mark for this defense right now is defensive tackle. They don't have much depth or experience or proven players there. And while those guys are trying to get better and improve here during the spring, LSU is still probably going to be looking for a couple of additions in the transfer portal.
We had a few months ago, we got a question in on our mailbag podcast, and it was, should LSU fans be concerned that Brian Kelly has lost 7 games in his first 2 years? And I kind of turned that around and said, shouldn't they be excited that he's won 20 games in his first 2 years? Which one is it? Are they more excited about the 20 wins, the SEC West Championship 2 years ago, and they feel this is a program that's about to start contending for national titles again? Or are they concerned that they've been a little inconsistent?
It's a little bit of both, with a lean probably further toward the excitement over 20 wins. And because that has created so much optimism about what is possible in the future, you know, having that and the SEC championship game appearance and Jaden Daniels winning the Heisman and the continued success on offense has created quite a bit of positivity. The drawback from that is that defense was completely abysmal last year and one of the worst in school history. And, you know, there's still some concern about, you know, are they actually going to be able to take that leap? Because at LSU, it's great for them that over the last 2 years now they've gotten back to a place of stability where they're, you know, sort of right in the mix there. But that's not really satisfactory to this fan base. They want to be competing for national championships every year. And especially in an expanded college football playoff, they expect to be in that field every single year. And, you know, you're not always going to be, most likely, but you want to be in that. You want to strive for that. And you want to be closer to that than LSU maybe has been over the last 2 years, even though they've been probably right on the cusp of what would have been a 12-team playoff. So they are wanting a little bit more. And they want those, you know, they've had some within those seven losses, but there's been a couple blowouts, and try to eliminate that, you know, be able to show up a little bit better for those big games, and start winning those big games to then, you know, turn a 9-3 regular season into 10-2, 11-1. Maybe here and there you have a chance of going undefeated. That's, you know, still LSU still trying to take that step. And so while there's positivity and optimism about what they've accomplished in 2 years under Brian Kelly, they want more as they start to head into the rest of his tenure.
LSU's schedule, it looks like it can be a successful one. Two Big Ten teams, which is weird to say when I'm talking about USC and UCLA. They miss Georgia. They miss Texas. They get Ole Miss, Alabama, and Oklahoma, the three toughest teams on their schedule, I would say. Those are all at home. This is a schedule that's kind of built for success. Do you expect LSU to be in the playoff when we get to December?
I expect them to be in the playoff conversation. You know, it's just too early for me at this point, and especially because of we still don't know exactly what this defense is going to look like. And if they can add to the defensive tackle position and get stronger there, then I'll feel more confident in saying, you know, more that they should be expect to be in the playoff conversation. But at this point, they've really got to get better there to withstand some of these teams in the SEC. Yes, they get, you know, probably their toughest games are all at home. It's a fantastic home schedule with UCLA coming to Tiger Stadium as well. I mean, not much to know about UCLA or anything like that, but just having that brand name coming is going to make for a lot of excitement. And also starting the year out in Vegas against USC. Again, another team that, you know, their defense was terrible last year and they're losing Caleb Williams, but kind of in a similar boat to LSU. So like they've still got to navigate those things and be able to get through this schedule while it sets up well for them. There's still some tough teams on there. And so, you know, I think they should expect to be in late November playing meaningful football games. But we're just going to kind of have to see how that shakes out.
Well, no Mississippi State on the schedule, Wilson. I guess I'll see you at media days, but that's
no, strange.
It's so weird. It's so weird. I've done Auburn and Alabama on this series as well. And State's not playing them either. And it's just, I don't know, man, we'll get used to it. So, all right.
Yeah, we'll get used to it, but it is, I think, a slight disappointment that as college football changes, we lose some of those rivalries.
Yeah, no question. No question. Wilson Alexander from The Advocate, always great to have you on the podcast, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.